In a congressional district that's never gone blue, Republican incumbent Mark Amadei hopes to retain the seat he's held since 2011. KUNR's Holly Hutchings sat down with Mr. Amadei to discuss his position on immigration, healthcare, and more, as well as his plans if he gets another 24 months in office.
Let's start with why you're running for re-election.
Nevada's kind of a unique spot that I think requires a unique advocate. You know, where the state is mostly federally owned. And so, quite frankly, there's a lot of public lands issues that are important that we've worked on, want to continue on. Veterans issues that we've worked on, want to continue on. Economic issues. I'm on the Appropriations Committee, which puts us in a position with funding for those agencies that have major impacts in Nevada. I think I've been blessed to have the deep, deep background in the state that I have in terms of growing up here, raising my kids here, and also being involved in setting public policy. So I'd like the opportunity to continue for 24 more months.
So one of the top issues for voters this election cycle is health care. What do you want to see happen with health care, and how can Congress actually get it done?
Let me tell you where I start. First of all, the status quo I don't think is good. I'm not picking on the ACA. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying we're at a point in health care where, quite frankly, if you say somebody, hey, you okay with your health care program or you love your health care program, a lot of people have concerns. The second thing I'll tell you is this, is both sides have their talking points and their cliches, which quite frankly aren't helpful to fixing the problem. It's just crazy. There's things in the ACA that are good, and there are things that need work. So if you want to get down to reality, it's like, so we need to go to work on some things. Costs are not good. Pharmaceutical costs are not good. The closer we are to state-based solutions, there's some things going on in Las Vegas right now. Las Vegas Chamber's creating its own healthcare group that's open to people throughout the state. Closer to home means cheaper. With all due respect to the people who think one payer is the idea, over half the people in Nevada are on employer-provided plans. And guess what? They're the closest to happiest that there are. So I think that's where the answer lies, closer to home.
The subject of public lands is a big one for people here in Northern Nevada. What are you doing to protect public lands?
We don't do a public lands bill unless it comes from the bottom up, by the Nevada legislature or by the county commission and city councils. Second of all, no public lands bill passes unless it's bipartisan. There's this cliche out there of like, my God, we're subdividing the public estate and we're doing terrible things. Every public lands bill has a conservation element. For instance, when we did the bill that allowed the city of Yerington to buy the ground that the copper folks are working on, Nevada Copper, right now, guess what? We created the Pine Forest Wilderness for 25,000 acres in Humboldt County, and we created the Wovoka Wilderness in Lyon County for 50,000 acres.
What are you going to do, if reelected, to work on immigration?
So first and foremost, put some bills on the floor and make people vote so everybody can see where they stand on a particular piece of legislation. That's part of the job. And so if you don't, I said oftentimes, I can't defend nothing. Immigration has become so incredibly politicized. So when you say, what would you do? I'm one of the 25 Republicans who signed a discharge petition to force bills to the floor this year. And we voted on them. And guess what? I voted for both of them. And people say, why did you vote for it? It's like, because we need to start somewhere, because I'll go back to where I started. The status quo, I don't care what your politics or your registration are, is, in my view, bad. That's the nicest word I can think of for it.
So with the increase in school shootings, what are you doing to ensure the safety of our kids in school?
Well, we're doing things on several fronts. First of all, we went to the FBI and said, what's your data on the profile? Who are the people that are using guns and shooting people on campuses, whether they're high school, whether they're college, whether they're whatever? We've looked at it for how do we make our first responders as well informed as possible. And then also we did stuff where we funded more school age folks for mental health care and social worker support and things like that. Firearms and schools have existed in this country for about 300 years. But in the last 20, we've got a problem where some people think that whatever the issue is that's bugging them, that the answer is to go do something heinous like this. Quite frankly, let's find out what's changed in the last 20 years. If it's really about the safety of people generally in public, but especially in schools, it's like we need to find out what's going on with these folks using firearms to go to school and do bad things. There's progress to be made in safety. Now, I don't want to exclude the talk about guns either. Everything's on deck, but I don't think if you just do something on guns that you can look people in the eye and say, okay, we've handled it. Quite frankly, there are a lot of other moving parts that we've kind of gone over quickly.
Your opponent, Clint Cobley, has said that you back President Trump 98% of the time. Is that true? And do you feel like your actions reflect the desires of CD2?
You know what? And I appreciate that. And part of me kind of chuckles because, first of all, I had Clint and I had a debate a couple nights ago, and he's a good guy. But in response to that, I just say this. First of all, President Trump doesn't vote, so I don't vote with him any percent of the time. Second of all, do I care about the health of the private sector? Yes. It's because all the things that the government struggles to do, which is where am I going to live? How am I going to pay for it? How am I going to get food to eat for my family? What happens when I get sick? And by the way, when I get too old to work, what am I going to do when I can't work anymore for a living? All of those things that government struggles to do, we get great help when the private sector is doing well. But I get what Clint's doing. He's like, hey, people don't like the president's personality much. And so if I can paint Amedee as the president's alter ego, then of course he's going to try to do that. God bless him and good luck. I'm pretty comfortable that I've been my own guy. And would invite people to check that out.
Candidates always say they want to work across the aisle and be bipartisan, compromise. What are some things you will do on a bipartisan level this next session?
There's good people on both sides of the aisle. The challenge is for the leadership on both sides of the aisle to let them work through some of this stuff instead of going, oh, team meeting, here's what we're all going to do. And so that's when I get kind of aggressive and say, you know, the work's important, but the culture sucks. That's the culture that I'm talking about. It's like, why can't you campaign on, I was part of fixing immigration? Why can't you campaign on, I was part of fixing healthcare? Instead of, oh, you know, the way we said is the only way, and the way they said is always wrong. With all due respect and hopefully a sliver of maturity, it's like, really, I've never heard of that being the truth in anything of any importance, and especially in something that's supposed to be a group activity, which is legislating.
Congressman Amedee, running for re-election in CD2, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.